The less your business spends, the more margin you keep. But today, everything costs more. So smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, and HR into one proven platform, helping you reduce IT costs, maintenance costs, and manual errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move to NetSuite. Backed by popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/earnings. netsuite.com/earnings.
Intel is the spark for the dreamers who do. They dream of a life with no diseases, of cleaner, greener, more reliable energy, of advancing education by bringing AI everywhere. Intel is the spark to start something new, to know that no dream is too daring when you have the right foundation. It starts with Intel. Learn more at intel.com/starts.
You know success when you see it, or you think you do, the people in the spotlight. But what about those small business masterminds who succeed at making their money work harder? They do that by having a business bank account with QuickBooks Money, which now earns 5% annual percentage yield. Making your money work as hard as you do? That's how you business differently. Learn more about QuickBooks Money at quickbooks.com/5APY. Banking services provided by Green Dot Bank, member FDIC. Only funds and envelopes earn APY. APY can change at any time.
This is Bloomberg Business of Sports.
The cold, hard truth about the Olympic journey is not really been financially incentivized in the same way that many other professional sports are.
The business of basketball involves NBA, Global, our licensing arm, Think 450. All of those things will make up what that looks like.
Money in sports. It's one of the reasons why I enjoy being on Monday Night Countdown. We talk about some of the more interesting aspects of business of sports.
When you're talking sports, discipline is the bridge from being good to ultimately being great at whatever it is that you're trying to be or accomplish as your profession.
Bloomberg Business of Sports from Bloomberg Radio.
Hello, this is the Bloomberg Business of Sports podcast, where we explore some of the big money issues in the world of sports. I'm Michael Barr.
I'm Scarlett Fu.
And I'm Mike Lynch.
And we are going to talk about religion of sports. Now, what is it that you're saying? Amit Sankaran, Chief Executive Officer, and Gautam Chopra, co-founder of Religion of Sports. Thank you so much for joining us right here on the Bloomberg Business of Sports.
Thanks for having us.
Nice to be here.
Thank you so much. So I will start with Amit. What is it? What is Religion of Sports?
Religion of Sports, actually, you know what? I'm going to pass to Gautam to define as the founder and the visionary of this.
I'll come at it from a creative place. That's my role. You know, I founded the company, now 5 or 6 years ago, along with Tom Brady and Michael Strahan, both of whom are, you know, big contributors to the company, but also have day jobs that keep them busy. Religion of Sports is really like a vision that I had many years ago. I grew up in Boston, Massachusetts, as a first-generation American. And, sports was a language. It was about assimilating, becoming American. When you grow up in a place like Boston, you know, the Red Sox are a religion, the Celtics, you go to the cathedrals and the mythologies that surround sports and athletes, the Holy Wars, Red Sox, Yankees, Celtics, Lakers. That's what I grew up with. And later in life, as a filmmaker, storyteller, I realized, man, that same sort of passion exists all over the planet. And so that's how we started, which is to tell stories about, you know, set in the world of sports, but are bigger than sports. And, it's grown over time. And that's probably where Amit can take over, because we've evolved from, you know, making shows and a production company into more of a studio and media company that's now conceiving, owning content in a pretty explosive media and industry. Amit, I'll hand it off to you now.
We're a content business. We produce unscripted documentary-style content, as Gautam talked about. That's what he's been doing, and is, you know, arguably one of the best in the world at. And we've expanded, though, around Gautam. We have a team of filmmakers, producers, editors. We're deep into narrative storytelling and audio. We've started our scripted division, but it's all kind of with the ethos and the DNA Gautam talked about. And we distribute our content everywhere, ESPN, Facebook Watch, Showtime, Amazon, Apple, all of the big streamers and linear players.
So you talked about how you were raised in Boston, Gotham, and you grew up knowing about these sports heroes like Tom Brady. That's great, but how do you go from knowing them to forming a company with them? And how involved is a Tom Brady beyond having his name in the credits? Walk me through how that materialized.
Well, you know, I was fortunate. You know, my father is Deepak Chopra. So I've kind of grown up around the world of fame, you know, and celebrity. And from the storytelling side, like you said, I grew up, I was really passionate about sports. I love that. I was a filmmaker. I live in Southern California. Tom actually used to spend a lot of his off seasons in Southern California. So I kind of met him along the way, had a mutual acquaintance, et cetera. And this is maybe going back 8 or 9 years now. And I shared this at that point, religion and sports was an idea, kind of what I described to you. I, as a fan, knew what it was like to experience sports as something bigger than just statistics and sabermetrics and scores and stuff like that. And I kind of shared that with Tom, and Tom was like, yeah, no, I get it. I get it. Probably from the other perspective. You know, I'd also at that time worked with Kobe Bryant on a film project. And, you know, there's capital in that. There's, you know, once you're sort of in that circle and there's a trust, those sorts of athletes tend to, okay, like if Kobe can trust you, I can trust you. And so it was an evolution over that. And then, you know, we started working on that project. Initially, that was called Tom versus Time. And that really, at the time, I think Facebook Watch was just launching. So it was sort of the perfect storm. And then, you know, likewise, Michael Strahan, who by that time, you know, his Hall of Fame NFL career was over, but his Hall of Fame broadcasting career was just getting started. So I met him kind of more through like the media circles and network, shared the vision with him. And again, I mean, these things come from, in my experience, not like some elaborate, I didn't walk them through a business plan, shared a vision with them, and one that really resonated with them because they had both been at the epicenter of these fates, you know, the Patriots, the Giants. They, of course, had their own tangled history, you know, but have become really close friends and huge supporters. And so to answer the latter part of your question, look, they are obviously busy doing what they do. You know, Michael in broadcasting, Mike and Tom still playing, but they're pretty active. They're both on the board. They're both early stage investors in the company. They both open up their Rolodexes and contribute pretty much wherever we ask them to. So very supportive, I would say, almost like week-to-week basis.
Hey, Gotham, it's Mike Lynch up in Boston. Great to be talking to a Belmont Hill grad. And
of course. You were a big part of my religion and sports upbringing. I used to watch you all the time.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. So I want to get a little bit deeper into Tom's involvement in Tom versus Time and the man in the arena. Does he actually look at the dailies and does he say, you know what, cut this thing out, I don't want to say this, and oh my goodness, the lighting is bad here. I mean, how when he is the subject, is he also a producer as well?
Yeah, it's a great question. And by the way, you mentioned the last part of that. Tom is obsessed with lighting. It's fascinating.
I know he is.
He's always like, man, do you think it's too dark on the left side of my face and stuff like that?
This is a great factoid.
But, you know, like, he's probably more so, you know, when he was with the Patriots, was a little bit more sensitive, you know, and I think it doesn't come from him not, you know, wanting to, well, one, the Patriots culture, as you know, as pretty much everyone knows, was such where I think everyone was extra alert, you know, and hyper aware and not to sort of rock the boat. So I think he was aware of that sort of stuff. I think over time, I mean, one, obviously the Bucks culture is very different. So Manning the Arena and he's away from the Patriots. But I also think like there's just more trust, frankly. I mean, we've worked so much. I am a lot, you know, more aware of where his sensitivities are. And, you know, candidly, his sensitivities are always around the team. Like he is hyper sensitive about this idea of disproportionate attention or accolades going to him because he's very much, I mean, going back 20 years, and if you watch Man in the Arena, he's always, like, when he watches the dailies, and he does, he's like, oh, you know what? I forgot to mention the offensive guard. And sometimes I'm like, Tom, we got to, like, but that's where his biggest, I would say, vulnerability is. But most of the stuff around the dramas and the deflate gates, like all the spy gates and stuff like that, he doesn't care. He's kind of like, it's all out there. You know, everybody has an opinion. He talks about it quite openly, so he's never really pushed back too much on that stuff.
You had mentioned it earlier, and I was going to apologize for asking this because your last name is Chopra, Gotham, and your dad is Deepak Chopra. You know, that's like, you know, someone asking me, hey, your last name's Barr. Are you related to Roseanne Barr? It's like, no. So it's like, but yes, you are the son of Deepak Chopra. What has that celebrity status influenced you in your path, and what has it taught you about the media and being famous?
Well, I think, I mean, there's a practical aspect to it, which has been very advantageous, you know, and I don't shy away from saying that. I grew up around it. One, I'm comfortable around it. Two, I was exposed to it at a very young age. I met Michael Jackson and Elizabeth Taylor growing up there, you know, in Boston, Massachusetts. And like I said before, that comes with a sort of capital. I think famous people are frankly comfortable around other famous people, you know, or like that sort of culture. So I think it was sort of helpful in terms of Kobe was probably the first, you know, super A-list athlete that I ever worked with, and was also someone who had the reputation for being combative and secretive and stuff like that. So I think that, you know, was probably just paid itself forward over time. I mean, I guess what I've learned from a storytelling perspective, by the way, it's great, because the great thing about fame is like there's a public narrative. People already know Tom Brady, or think they know Tom Brady through the way that he's been portrayed, you know, for years and years. And so you have something to work off of. Obviously, then when you have the person and you're able to sort of do it more subjectively, you can play off that tension, I guess, between what the public thinks they know and what, you know, privately. And by the way, that's no different than my father. I've grown up with him. he's famous, and he's been famous for a long time. And so there's this sense of like, oh, I've been reading his books. I've watched him on TV. I follow him on social media. I know your dad. And then, you know, to me, he's my dad. Like, you know, and I made a documentary many years ago basically about that. It was like one of my first projects. And so from a storytelling perspective, it's sort of an interesting device to play with. It also can be a challenging one, because obviously famous people can be very sensitive about their public persona. It is their equity. And so you just have to navigate it around it, you know, mindfully. But I, and fortunately the team around me, have become, you know, somewhat skillful around that.
I think just from a practical content perspective, one thing that's been really useful that Gotham almost just lives and breathes and doesn't even think about is all these athletes, Tom Brady, Simone Biles, Steph Curry, they are great at what they do. And that greatness doesn't just come from, you know, physically what they're doing. It's this holistic lifestyle. It's nutrition, mental awareness, wellness, relationships, recovery, breathwork, and so forth. And those are things that Gotham has grown up with. And so profiling those, getting deep into those, and making those interesting is kind of one of the things that makes religion, sports, and our content so compelling. Mm-hmm. And that also comes from a very substantive way and what, you know, I've seen him not only grow up with, but live. And so that actually has been a really interesting thing to see come to life in almost a different manner through content.
Well, I was going to say, I know Scarlett and Lynchy scared the hell out of me, man, being so nervous, man, with these two famous people next to me. I'm like, oh,
yeah, right.
God, oh, help me.
Amit, we talked about the content. I'm curious about the distribution here. A lot of the seasons and the series that you've produced are on Apple TV, for instance, or Disney Plus, ESPN Plus, Facebook Watch. These are all new platforms. Can you explain the strategy, the thinking behind whether you go for traditional linear TV versus these new platforms? Are you a streaming first company?
No, I think two things. One is, first, if we think about Religion of Sports, the brand and the IP and so forth, I mean, there's lots of companies that have set the strategy forward even before streamers, of course, whether you look at Pixar and others where, you know, I've looked at, or DreamWorks, or looked at multiple platforms and said, hey, how do I distribute content across different platforms and, you know, bring things that have our shared sense of DNA and perspective and so forth. And of course now, you know, some of those all live within one platform, but not always. And then I think then to answer your question, what we hear a lot is, you know, all these companies, and whether there's quote unquote streamers first or linear first, all have a different strategy and different audience they're trying to aggregate and different messages they want to get out in the world. And that of course shifts all the time. And so we're just in constant conversation with all of them and trying to think about how can what we do best and the content we create and the access and relationships we have and the creators we have in our network help bring the best to bear for that project and that strategy. And so sometimes you'll have a very unique point of view around something like a project, a Greatness Code, which you know, very much Gotham conceptualized, and we did in collaboration with Spring Hill and the folks at Uninterrupted, and took it to the market. And Apple was just a great fit because they actually wanted to explore doing something really short form. And then something like Tom versus Time that Gotham described, you know, became a really interesting thing for Facebook Watch to kick off with. And it was just relationships and talking about strategy and trialing something new and different. So a lot of times it's not necessarily an intention that this has to be on that platform, and more just aligning idea with a distribution strategy.
So I understand you're going through some rebranding. Would that mean a new title, new name?
No, I wouldn't say rebranding. We just have, you know, Religion of Sports is, we've expanded. And so I think it's less about quote unquote rebranding. I mean, we our tagline since the beginning has been kind of why sports matter. Why are these things on the field more meaningful, as Gotham described, than the stats and the scores? And what are the life lessons you take away? One of the things we're learning, and now we're expanding into, is that version of how, you know, greatness comes to life and how you can, you know, get, you create compelling takeaways doesn't have to be limited to athletes or to teams. And so there's actually musicians and others that we're started to work with where the same kind of core DNA and essence comes out. And that's something that we've broadened now, and we've intentionally started to broaden, you know, outside of pure. I'd say most of the things we're doing are in the sports landscape, but I think there's some that are very interesting that are broadening kind of the DNA outside.
Amit Sankaran, Chief Executive Officer of Religion of Sports, and Gotham Chopra, co-founder of also Religion of Sports. Thank you both for joining us right here on the Bloomberg Business of Sports. You guys were very nice enough to join us, and we really do appreciate it.
Thanks so much for having
us. It was fun.
This has been the Bloomberg Business of Sports podcast. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday talking to you about some of the biggest issues in the world of sports. I'm Michael Barr. You can follow me on Twitter at Big Barr Sports.
I'm Scarlett Fu, and I'm on Twitter at Scarlett Fu.
And I'm Mike Lynch. You can follow me at LynchyWCBB.
You're listening to Bloomberg Business of Sports on Bloomberg Radio around the world.